Thank you. First of all, I'd like to thank you for, on the 23rd of January, the opportunity to sit down and talk with CalPERS and Anthem and Optum Carex representatives. We had roughly 70 questions that we asked over a period of 2.5 hours, and we validated some information and we found new information. We raised new issues, but we appreciate having access to those sources to supplement the otherwise information you've given us over the past several months to try to digest. A couple of things I'd like to kind of address tonight. One is that obviously since midsummer we've been dealing collectively at negotiations and us with trying to scout around and find information. Very complex issues and ramifications, consequences that are associated with potentially going to CalPERS. And we understand clearly that among each of our organizations, there are cross currents of interests and priorities and conflicts, I think, probably within all of our thinking to try to get clarity and reach a point of both understanding and, I guess, position. Also, I think at stake in a large degree is collective bargaining itself, because going to CalPERS seems to me that relinquishes the capacity of unions to negotiate part of compensation, which is the significant ability to play back and forth wages and benefits and decide the balance in terms of how they want money spent for their own self-interest. The other issue I would like to raise is that we are now, it seems to me, kind of at a more serious and maybe the beginning almost of negotiations. I'm hopeful that when Burnham's able to lay side by side our current Anthem plan with the CalPERS basic plan for choice, that it'll expose differences and comparisons that will allow to step back and kind of consider new information and investigate new options and maybe figure out whether there's middle ground that can be reached short of going to CalPERS. Probably more importantly for the retirees, we don't get a direct say in what the options may be. So consequently, we're on the side on the sidelines and trying to be as persuasive as we can once we understand where we want to go or where we want to have the operation go. So I'd like to kind of bring to mind again that for all parties involved, we have specific and stake interests in the outcome. And you're all, in one way or another, representing those interests and the language that covers us in contracts and in the settlement. And we would like for sure to you maintain and bear in mind our positions and our rights, regardless of what the negotiation comes to be. And we will be there both watching and waiting to react, potentially. Another thing I would like to talk about, this kind of came today, sort of unexpectedly. I got a call 3 weeks ago from a vice chancellor from here who's now at Mount SAC, ready to retire. Apparently at some point in time, 15 years ago, the board offered him benefits for life, even though he was not close to retirement when he left here. So he was trying to find out what those benefits were. And I answered as best I could, and then I passed it on to Katie Lyon, and I am assuming that she met with him. Anyway, when I tried to get back to him today to make sure he finished what he needed to know, he wasn't in, and I was passed on to their HR person. And I had been informed by him that on December 31st, Mount SAC left CalPERS in terms of classified and managers. Faculty is still in the process of considering that. And she was quite candid, and without me really having to do much coaching, had a good bit to say about their experience with CalPERS, and her feeling was that it had been, she said, trying and aggravating and very difficult over the years to work with. Mount SAC is 40 plus years old. CalPERS is the only agent they've ever worked with for their benefits, and so it's significant that at this point in time they're leaving in part and probably in whole. And she said that basically the relationship they had was simply understanding yearly what check they wrote, and then largely stepped back, that they didn't have a vote or a say or an influence on really anything that had to do with CalPERS other than writing the check. They didn't participate in the determination of the plan content. They didn't participate in how the plan was delivered. They didn't participate in the cost of the plan. Essentially, they had relatively no voice, which is exactly what I suggested last time I was up here, that you had maybe one thousandth. She verified that rather completely. The other thing that she talked about was particularly, because I'm obviously talking about retirees, had to do with retiree benefits.
She said what happens with retirees is that
once CalPERS signs them up, Medicare and the Medicare supplement, they pass completely out of the hands of Mount SAC, and that CalPERS considers any information they have about the retirees, their personal information, and they don't share it. They don't provide any insight into what is happening with their retirees, how you might be able to contact them if you haven't known they were retired or whatever else. And that in particular, the retirees were on their own with CalPERS, and that Anthem, I mean, that Mount SAC had no influence and no role in being able to intercede to help retirees solve problems, get questions asked, resolve issues, that they were with CalPERS and they were on their own, and that that was a significant part of the reason for leaving CalPERS, was because of they were getting so much feedback from retirees, particularly the more aged retirees were having an increased difficulty negotiating the complexity of CalPERS. The other thing she indicated was that CalPERS is not an insurance company, so therefore it contracts with providers, Anthem, OptumRx, to give them the insurance coverage that they want. And as a result, CalPERS says it has a presence nationwide, and you can get services nationwide, that the services in the nearby states of Oregon and Washington are less complete and less good than they are in California, and there's a distinction between them. But more importantly, what she had to say was that CalPERS doesn't really have the kind of presence that Anthem or Optum would have as insurance carriers if you contracted with them directly outside of the state. So therefore, CalPERS itself has no presence. And therefore, much of the CalPERS plan, when you look at it, makes really clear, stark distinctions between what happens if you're in-network and what happens if you're out-of-network.
Can I interrupt for a quick second? Was the clock set at 6 minutes or?
Give me 1 minute, I'll clear them. So basically the argument was that in most states outside of California, you are going to be considered out of network. Out of network means that the charge is greater than it would be in network, and that there's no limit on what the charge could be. There's been a lot of information in the papers recently about surprise billing. And then all of the bills that you get out of network, you have to submit back to CalPERS, and it's up to them to decide then whether there's reimbursement. So that the feeling was that particularly people living out of state were having a great deal of difficulty with CalPERS just because of the nature of the beast and how it what its business plan is and how it does business. So
we're
not so much things that I called to solicit, although I'm certainly going to go back with a much longer list of questions to get kind of more detailed insight, because we can look at the plans.
Gary, can you wrap up,
yep,
please?
However, we don't know what it's like,
Gary,
to live inside the plan, so it's nice to be able to talk to a compatriot in another district and find out what life on the inside looks like. Thank you.
Thank you. That's the end of our closed session under the items identified.